Do you know that there are basically three kinds of people in the world? There are producers, consumers, and parasites. And I want to tell you about how you can figure out how to be a value-added part of humanity. Let's go forward. I want to be a value-added person. It's not enough for me to simply exist. It is important to me to make sure that I'm adding value to every situation that I'm in, whether it's business, whether it's relationships, whether it's community, whether it's political, it doesn't matter. I want to make sure that I am adding value. Now, this is important because when you add value, you're helping to move things forward. Let me say that again. When you're adding value, you're helping to move things forward. Now, understand that when you can actually be in a situation and be something of a zero gain. In other words, you're not causing any problems, but you're not bringing forth any solutions. You're just basically there occupying space, or in the military, we would say marking time. It's like when you're marching but standing still. And we don't want to do that. Honestly, let me tell you something, that if you have aspirations, ambitions that you expect will take you somewhere in life, then you better be prepared to take whatever situation that you're in and move the needle forward. Now, before I go forward, let's talk about backward, because I want to introduce you to the rearview mirror. First of all, there's a big reason why the windshield is much larger than the rearview mirror, because that is the direction that you're headed. But you want to be the kind of person in situations that you're not causing the vehicle of whatever it is that you're doing to go in reverse. Now, let me make one thing perfectly clear. Just like a car has a reverse gear, because sometimes it's important for you to have that to quickly change directions. Sometimes it's easier to put it in reverse and back up than to try to figure out how to make a U-turn or a three-point turn. You want to understand how to go backward and when to go backward. And you have to understand that backward cannot be your primary mode. Because if reverse is your primary mode, then all you can do is drag things down. The momentum of you moving backward will hold back. It will impede any situation or circumstance that you're involved in. Let me give you an example. There are some people that are so hardwired to dwell in the past. They have anger issues, they have resentment issues, they have revenge issues, and so they're constantly living in the rearview mirror. Or they had some success in the past, but didn't have any similar success in the future, and so they spend most of their life looking backward. Don't be that person. You want to make sure that your focus is forward, and that you are moving in that direction, and that whatever it is that you're doing, that you are going to take it in the forward direction. Now, I say all this to say, because there are certain things or certain disciplines, certain intellectual pursuits that I think actually add value, and then some that actually detract from value. Let me give you an example. I'm really big these days on quantum physics. And I believe that understanding the quantum, that is the part of physics, the understanding of physics at the most minute scale, the subatomic scale, I believe is the key to understanding a lot of what we perceived to be reality, but it also, I believe, impacts a lot of what we perceive to be spiritual, because I believe the science and spirituality are really just the same. They're different expressions of the same thing. Let's put it that way. Now, so when I'm looking at quantum physics, there are a lot of applications to quantum physics. For example, you have a cell phone. Quantum physics makes that possible. You have a big screen TV. Quantum physics makes that possible. Different electronic components in your car, satellite navigation, for example, or stereo systems, things like that. Quantum physics has a direct relationship to those things. So therefore, quantum physics is something that moves humanity forward. Now, I'm going to do a whole episode on this one, but suffice it to say that religion and theology move humanity backward. Because what happens is religion teaches you to hold on to something, to have faith, and to tenaciously cling to something at the expense of going forward. And let me tell you, this, there are a lot of examples of this. And when I get into that episode, I'm going to get into it very deeply. But the thing is that religion stifles independent, creative, and forward thinking. It is designed to hinder you and hobble you. So I don't want to get involved with religious things, because religious things are things that are going to hold me back. And if it holds me back, it impedes my ability to positively impact humanity and move humanity forward. So I don't want to get involved in that. The other thing too is that you have to be positive. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be just super excited about everything. Listen, I'll tell you, it's hard to be 100% optimistic 100% of the time. That's a big ask of anyone. But you can be optimistic most of the time. And if you're optimistic most of the time, that means that whatever you bring to the table in terms of thought leadership, in terms of understanding problems, in terms of solving people's pain points, these are things that are going to move the needle. And we want to add value. We want to contribute something. Listen, at the end of the day, we are all at given times producers and consumers. But there's one category that I think that is worse than that. You could be a producer, you can be a consumer, or you could be a parasite. Now, produce at any given time, we produce and we consume, and that's just the cycle of life, the cycle of business. But being a parasite, on the other hand, is just sucking the life out of a situation. Have you ever met that person that when they walk in the room, all the life in the room leaves? That when they walk in the room, that there's a pall that is cast over the crowd. Those people are energy suckers. And listen, let me tell you something. Don't hate them. Don't hate them. Because I believe that every human being has redeemable qualities. I believe that every human being can turn it around. But And there's a time and a place for that. And this is not that time. We'll talk about that in another episode too, about how to deal with difficult people. But suffice it to say that there are some people that when they walk in the room, immediately the energy changes. Suddenly things are brighter. It smells better. I mean, have you ever actually had that experience, that where someone walks in the room and it's almost like the most pleasant perfume or cologne was unleashed into the room? These people are the ones that they come in and they bring an optimism, they bring an upbeatness, they bring positivity into a situation. And listen, that can be you. But let me tell you this, that in order for that to be you, you have to first concentrate on raising your vibration. You have to figure out how it is that you can be more positive, that you can be more friendly, that you can be more joyous, more loving, all of these things that contribute to a higher vibration. And watch this, that when your vibration hits the room, it's like banging a gong. And it's a positive gong or a chime that once you've struck it, it radiates positive energy. There is a particular frequency, 528 hertz, which is said to be the frequency of love. And guess what? There are some people that I think just operate at close to that frequency. And when they come in, they bring an energy into the room. But they're also, to use the guitar, I like using the guitar as an analogy, but it's like if you play an E chord is a sad chord. It's just one of those ones that when you hit that chord, it there's something that it causes a downward energy. Here's the thing, that though that downward energy is important for using music as a tool of emotional expression, because again, you could play a G note, which a G note is a very positive note. It's a very upbeat note. So you play the G and then you play the E, and what you do is you take people on an emotional journey. And that's the way music should be. Music should take you on an emotional journey, but I digress. I'm going to stick with how can we use all of this to add value to situations? Because watch this. When you become a value added part of humanity, when you step in, even when you are not in the situation, people are going to look for you to be in the situation. Why? Because they appreciate your value. And when they appreciate your value, you appreciate in value. Do you get that? When people appreciate your value, you appreciate in value. In other words, you become more valuable, more liked, more welcome in the situations. And that's where you want to be. You want to be that person that is always invited in, that is always welcome to the party. And I'm not talking about party. I'm not talking about social situations, although that can be the case as well. What I'm talking about is life situations. I'm talking about work. I'm talking about community. I'm talking about business. I'm talking about politics. I'm talking about education. All of these different things that when you are a value add and people know that you are a net contributor. See, remember, we're producers, consumers, and a few of us are parasites. And we will oscillate, that is like a sine wave, toggle between being producers and consumers. We want to be net producers. That's the goal. When we raise our vibration, we become net producers instead of net consumers. And listen, this is sort of like the holy grail of energy. In other words, like perpetual motion, where more energy comes out than what is put in. And even though we haven't figured that out in physics yet, I do believe that we have that figured out in humanity. I actually believe that the right people in the right circumstances, in the right situations, can actually produce more energy than they actually bring to the table. And what happens then is that whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, it gets better. It gets better because of you. Do you see that? I tell you, when I discovered this, this actually changed my way of thinking. Because instead of just being, there were times when I'd get up and on a work day, particularly on a Monday. So you get up on a Monday morning and you're like, oh God, oh. And when you have that attitude, there's no way that you can add value, at least not initially. you're gonna come in as a net consumer at best, or at worst, you're gonna be a parasite. You're gonna suck the life out of the situation, and you don't want to do that. So I've learned to wake up, meditate, focus my energy, and make the conscious decision that whatever my vibration is at this moment, what can I do to elevate that? And if that means meditation, I meditate. If it means exercise, I exercise. If it means reading or listening to something positive, something to elevate my vibration, then I'm prepared to do that, because I want to make sure that my mind is on right, so that when I go into the situations and circumstances of my day, that I go in positive. You know, I went in, I had to have a MRI, and the technicians were really marveling at me, because they said, "Wow, you're like a Zen master. You're in this tube. You're not bothered. You're not flinching. You're not fidgeting." And basically, I the only thing that I could say is that there is something in my spirit that calms me. Now, let me say this before anybody thinks that I'm some sort of Superman or I'm some sort of a paragon of Zen. I'm not. I'm human. I have my up moments and I have my down moments. You will too. But when you learn how to really regulate your vibration, a lot of times you can't specifically control it, but you can say, I know what my thresholds are. I know what my range is. And so I don't want to dip below this, because I know that when I'm in this range, that I'm good. So I don't want to go below this range, and anything that I could do to elevate that. Because here's another thing too, that when you focus on being value added and you focus on raising your vibration to add value to the circumstances, situations, and people in your life, that what happens is that operating range goes up. You see that? It's not only is your vibration going up, but you're taking your operating range upward. So now your highs are higher and your lows are not as low. This is really, really, really key information. And I'm going to tell you, it changed my life. Now, your mileage may vary, and this is the view from my porch, not yours. But if you focus on raising your vibration, you raise your overall value. And when you, again, increase your value, you appreciate in value. You become someone who is sought after. Man, you know, there are some people like in the entertainment industry that because of their talent, they're sought after. But there are other people in the entertainment industry who are not sought after, especially for their talent, but for their spirit. Because their spirit is someplace, their spirit is in a place that it makes everyone else better. And that's where we want to be. We want to be value-added producers, net producers, not net consumers, and certainly not parasites. Listen, let me say this again about the people who are parasites. Because most people who are parasites, they understand that is a temporary condition. No one is a permanent parasite. The only time a person is a permanent parasite is when they're not exposed to anything else that raises their vibration and tells them that they're more valuable than they are. But here's another way where you can add value, is when you encounter a parasite, rather than berating them, rather than talking down to them, rather than marginalizing them, include them and show them their worth, show them their value, show them that they are loved, that they are appreciated. And what happens is when you do that, you raise their vibration. And if you do it well enough, you will raise them out of the parasitic and into the productive. That is so awesome. So that is pretty much what I have for you today. But I want you to make sure that you go to www.oneinstitution.com and check out all the podcasts, many different channels, many different interests covered, many different podcasts from many talented people. And I'll tell you, if you can't find something there that will bless you, then, well, I don't know. You're just a tough customer. But the other thing, too, is I want you to also go out to iTunes and give this podcast a 5-star rating. And, you know, listen, hit me up at comments@derekday.com, and you can send me an email and let me know what you think. I want to hear from you. And most of all, I want to help you because I know leadership, and leaders beget leaders. And I'm not boasting. I'm just stating a fact. So if you want to get some good podcast information, or better yet, even if you want to learn how to podcast yourself or how to raise the level of your existing podcast, then oneinstitution.com is a good place for you to go. So until the next time, my friends, may you be happy, may you be well, and may you be filled with peace. Hey, everybody, welcome to a special edition of the Forward Podcast, and I like to call this Leadership Forward. And today, I want to talk about 5 things that every consultant should know. Number 1, know what you know. A consultant is expected to be a subject matter expert in their field, whether it's cloud, whether it's DevOps, whether it's data management, finance, supply chain, human capital management. The consultant is expected to know what she knows. And the thing is, you want to be an expert. You want to be the go-to guy or the go-to person in whatever it is that you specialize in. One of the things that you also need to know is you need to know your value. Make sure that you don't overprice yourself or undercut yourself. Know what you're worth. Test the market. Check out what the comparable consulting values are and price yourself accordingly. Be sure, though, that you don't price yourself out of the market, and also make sure that you don't sell yourself short. You want to make sure that you are actually getting the value that you deserve. Another thing, too, is knowing the tools and the tech. Take advantage of the things that we have. I mean, we have smartphones, we have tablets, we have laptops, and we have all of this tech that we're able to track our time, track our expenses. Make sure that you put the tech to work for you. Make sure that you're leveraging what you have to do the best that you could do. Now, number 2, you want to know what others don't know. It's not enough just to be a subject matter expert in one field. Now we have multiple verticals. We have manufacturing, we have aerospace and defense, we have high tech, we have healthcare, we have banking and finance, all of these different verticals. You may be a subject matter expert in the tech that you are the subject matter expert in, but it doesn't hurt you to be broader. It's good to be deep, but it's also good to be broad. So make sure that you know some things other than what you specialize in so that you have something that differentiates yourself from your competition. The third thing is that you need to know your customers' pain points. Listen, consulting is like being a physician. You have to examine your patient and palpitate. In other words, you have to put your finger on the pulse of what it is that they're going through. And if they say, ouch, that's the spot where you want to make sure that you're applying the medicine of your expertise. Because if you can do this, if you understand the customer's pain points and minister to that, then that will set you apart from most others, because people come in basically thinking that they know the solution without really understanding the problem. So you want to make sure that you understand the problem. And listen, this is really important, because he who solves problems gets paid, right? Let me say that again. He who solves problems gets paid. So when you know your customers' pain points, you understand how to troubleshoot problems, and you differentiate yourself and set yourself apart and make yourself a more valuable commodity. The fourth thing is, be honest about what you don't know. Listen, there are so many times in my career when I've been tempted to give an answer when I really didn't know. So now what I do is, when I don't know the answer, I'm honest and upfront, and I'll say that I don't know the answer to that question. But I always offer the alternative, saying that, hey, I will get you the answer to your question, and I will get it to you quickly. But the last thing you want to do in this age of the well-informed business customer, you listen, people have a robust bullshit filter, and they'll see right through it. Don't try to blow smoke at anyone. Make sure that you're being honest and intellectually honest. Always tell the truth. And the last thing is, always make sure that you know that you can know more. Listen, consulting is not a destination, it's a journey. And not only are we taking the customer on a journey through knowledge transfer, through documentation and things like that, but in the process of us passing on knowledge to our customers, that we're also learning. We're learning different business practices, business processes. We're learning different applications for the tech that we understand, or for the subject matter that we already understand. So understand that this is a journey, that you are going to learn, you are going to grow. Be prepared for that. Now, if that helps you, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach me at comments@derrickday.com, and also you can check out more at www.derrickday.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to the Forward Podcast, available wherever podcasts are. And so until next time, be well, and we'll talk then.